Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Monday, numero uno under President Trump. He's busy signing. Look at that, man. I tell you what, I should buy some stock in ink companies because he is going to town across the board with a lot of stuff he's doing. You've got TPP that's done and dusted. He's going to negotiate individually with everybody in the world. That's what he's doing. You've got rid of, as far as, you know, abortion, that he's done something with abortion over overseas funding of things or other country funding of certain things over there when it comes to abortions. And also, he has put a freeze on the old hiring of federal workers. Talked about pay cuts, which is going to piss off the right already. They're coming out. Ah, I'm angry. Ah. So we'll see. We'll see what he does. My prediction is he's going to be frustrated as hell because he's going to want to do a lot of stuff, and it's not going to get done, and it's not going to get done the way he wants it, and he's going to get frustrated, and he's going to reach over, and he's going to talk to the Democrats, which is going to piss off the Republicans, and it's, you know, again, he's used to being, oh, and he got sued today, too, by a company or by a group that is suing him because of the fact that his name and he may still benefit somewhat from his company, or his company will benefit from him being president. The chances of them winning this lawsuit are slim to none. That's how much I care about it. So other people will make a bigger deal about it. But constitutionally, what he's doing is, you know, again, he's all new territory, right? He's all new territory. People that have come to politics, by and large, who get to this point where they're running for this kind of higher office, whether it be a senator, a congressman, and or, you know, and or the president, they don't usually come here writing checks to people. They come here receiving checks and cashing them only. So it's a different world. So this is all new to us. So we'll see what happens. I want to say, for 8 years, not only I had to defend our first lady, and I defended the girls because I believe that the girls, as well as the first lady, as far as I'm concerned, were completely off limits. You don't talk about them. I don't even care if they, whatever, whatever. I mean, I don't care. You don't do it. And that's the way I feel. I came to it in a situation where I used to think, you know what? Kids are off limit, period. There's just some places you don't go. And the first lady, I respect Michelle. And, you know, again, she has said some stuff that makes you know, but whatever. She's your first lady. And you respect her for that. And the kids were always, you know, Sasha and Malia were always never, period. Trump's kids are different. Trump's kids are playing an active role. Trump's kids are playing an active role in this, especially Ivanka and her husband. You know, they're different. They're older. They're already in the spotlight. You already know who they are. But the SNL writer who is named Kathy Rich or Katie Rich, she fired off a tweet. And look, sarcasm is funny. Certain, you know, we all try to be sarcastic. We all try to play, you know, say some stuff. I don't think she should be fired from her job. I don't think she should be suspended forever. I don't think any of those things. I thought what she did was stupid. She's apologized for it. I think we should move on with our lives. I don't think she meant it literally. I think she was trying to be tongue-in-cheek. And again, you lose perspective in, you know, 140 characters. You know, you don't see somebody's face when they deliver something. And as a comic, you know, you want the right every once in a while for people to understand you. Because if you were to read what comics write and you didn't hear them with the material, you'd be like, oh my God, that's offensive. But again, it's in context of what you're talking about, the things you're doing. So she fired off something on Friday, said Barron will be the country's first homeschool shooter. Yeah, you don't do that. Kids are off limits, period. Kids, grandkids, off limits, period, period. She's an SNL writer. She has been suspended. She says, I sincerely apologize for the insensitive tweet. I deeply regret my actions and offensive words. It was inexcusable, and I am so sorry. Look, there are just some things you don't do. And this was one of those things. Now, other people think she should be fired. I've never been a let's fire somebody for something. Right? Because we all live in a world where if we all got fired for things that we said at the office or some of the stuff that we've done, nobody would work, right? Nobody would work. Just today, everybody in my office would be fired. Producer Phil, do you think you and I would have been fired for some of the off-colored remarks that we have made in between the commercial breaks?
Oh, no doubt.
Absolutely. 110%. I have never been that person. I think the left uses that power of bully pulpit too much. I think the right is starting to understand, well, we can do the same thing. Stop it. Look, what she did was stupid and asinine. But we all do dumb things. Obviously, she works for SNL. She probably leans way to the left. You know what? It's satire. We say things sometimes in satire world that, you know what? It offends people. I posted something today. I'm waiting for somebody to bitch at me. And I've already got one email about how horrible it was. It's National Pi Day. And I said, let the dirty jokes begin. And then I posted a picture of a girl that says, would you like a taste of my pie? It's delicious. It's satire. Somebody laugh. Somebody joke. It's okay every once in a while. Stop calling for the immediate fire of somebody. I got to get this person fired. Why? Well, they said something that I disagree with, so I'm going to hold their feet to the fire until they finally fire this guy or gal, and then I'll return back to my horrible life. I hearken back to the guy that worked for Mozilla. There's a guy who wrote a check, right? Umpteen years for Prop 8, California. His dream job, worked for Mozilla forever, becomes, you know, the search engine. He becomes the CEO. Somebody knows that this guy wrote a check for marriage equality, for marriage between a man and a woman, and didn't believe in the LGBT marriage equality thing. And oh my God, we found out what he said. Let's get him fired. Now that guy's not worked in what, like 2 years. What purpose did that serve? By the way, he said he had changed his mind about that. But what purpose was served there? Getting her fired, and she's been suspended. You know, how long? She's instantly suspended. Again, taking on the kids is a much different thing. But why? Why do you need to suspend her? Why can't you just go in and go, Katie, you know what? There are some things that are just off limits, and you just can't do that. I want you to send an apology and direct at them, say, you know what? I said something. It was, you know, because you know what? He's a little kid. He didn't know anything. You saw him the other day. I mean, he looked bored out of his mind. He's still trying to figure out what the hell happened to him. Jack's 6 and a half. If I became president today, he wouldn't know what the hell's going on. His world would be spinning. You know, the Rosie O'Donnell, all these, the psychoanalyzing, just stay away from him. He's a little boy. That's what you need to do. Let me tell you something. As a father, I'd have been pissed if somebody would have fired that off based on my son. I would have been. And I would have every right to be. But sometimes you learn to grin and bear it. And you say, you know what? It is what it is. And you shut your pie hole. You tell the person to shut their pie hole when it comes to this, and you move on for that. And trust me, I'm sure Lauren Michaels probably got a phone call from somebody because being as New York as Donald is, don't think that there wasn't something that came through. But we don't need a suspension. We move on with this, please. And stop asking for people to be fired if they tweet something. All right? I think that's stupid. It really is. It's ridiculous. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, simple and easy, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Poll is up on at Twitter, at Chad Benson Show. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl, the Falcons or the Patriots? Matty Ryan, Matty Ice, and the Falcons with Julio Jones, or the Patriots with Edelman and Amendola, and of course, Tom Brady. At Chad Benson Show. Right now, it's 55% say the Falcons. What's up with you guys? I don't even know you anymore. What's next, they say? What's next for the Democratic Party under Donald Trump? Because you know what? for all the love that Obama got, that party struggled. Some people are saying we got to have a new message. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see what's next.
I know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
What's next? Every day at this time, we do a thing called What's Next. We look for what's next. What's next? Under President Obama, you know, remember when we started talking about all of this several months ago, that it looked like the turmoil that it hit and the civil war that was coming, that was going to wreck a party, was the Democratic Party was going to stand there and laugh because the Republicans were going to destroy each other. I think that was pretty fair to say that Republicans looked to be in shambles and kind of the turmoil was a mess. And it still is. I think there's a lot of issues inside the Republican Party. But when you look back from 2009 till just recently, and you look at the scope of the Democrats under President Obama, it's kind of eye-opening. I don't think people realize this. Under President Obama, the Democrats have lost 900-plus state legislator seats, 12 governors, 69 House seats, 13 Senate seats. Wow. Now you've got a president, and you've got a Congress that is dominated, not super dominated, but somewhat dominated by the right. You have your stronghold through the middle of the country that seems to have somewhat abandoned you in many ways because you abandoned that. What's next for the Democrats moving forward? Well, Tom Steyer is a billionaire. He spent about $90 million in 2016 for, you know, Democratic causes across the state and the country. He's from California. And he said, look, we need a redo. We need a rethink. He said, I think there's no doubt we reflect the will of the people to an overwhelming extent. I don't think we're successful in conveying the spirit behind those policies, and I don't think we were successful in transmitting the urgency behind those policies. And the Democrats, they lost a lot of it. They lost a lot of stuff, and the reason I think is pretty simple. It's not because people don't understand. It's because the Democrats, who for years have screamed they were this and they're that and they're other, but it was all about the middle class, stopped taking care of the middle class, stopped looking at the middle class. It became about the issues. It became about LGBT. It became about Black Lives Matter. It became about La Raza and immigration. It became about stuff where The white working middle class that for years was the engine not only to this country, but in a lot of ways is the engine for the Democrats, felt abandoned. And I think that's spot on. Look, in this country, we need a strong two party. I would like to see a third party, but we need two strong parties. I don't want one party dominance. I live in a state full of one party dominance. It doesn't work. It doesn't. We need to have parties to keep themselves in check, because that's about it, right? That is about it. And the pendulum swings. It's always done this. It goes one way to the right. It'll go one way to the left. It'll go one way to the right. It'll go one way to the left. It has always done that, and I don't think it's not going to happen in this case. But the Democrats, first and foremost, under President Obama, it became about progressivism. It became about a lot of things that I think made a lot of people who were Democrats or independents uncomfortable. It did. It became about progressivism. It wasn't Democrat, Republican. It wasn't American values, but one or two things separate us. It became all about issues that a lot of people, even on the Democratic side, who go to church, who are the Second Amendment kind of Democrats, that, and there's a plenty of them, that it felt uncomfortable to them. And that was the big issue. The other thing, is also became about race, right? It became about niche things, race, trans rights. It became about all of these kind of things where As I've said all along, do you want to know why Hillary lost? It was, yes, the messenger was bad. She was completely detached from the reality of what was going on throughout the, you know, the Rust Belt and places like that. But it became about things where they were hyper-focusing on things that, again, the voting public really didn't care about. What's next for the Democrats is the same thing that's what's next for the Republicans. It's a retool. You got to get younger, which is something that, look, the most energetic individual, the most exciting thing that's happened to the Democrats in the last 10 years happened to be a 70-year-old cantankerous old man from Vermont. That was the that is your youngness as far as getting out young voters. You've got the young voters all to yourself. Let's be real. The Republican ideas of conservatism don't really chive and jive with young voters, right? Because it's more about know this, know that as far as they're concerned. And it's more about, you know, personal responsibility. And they don't want that kind of thing. It's not, no. They've got all this, but they still miss the mark. They still miss the mark. They put up a bad candidate who ran a bad race, who was detached from the reality of what was going on in a lot of places, and who only truly understands the coastal side of the country. If the Democrats want to compete, and we need a strong two-party system in this country, they're going to have to realize that it's the middle of the country, too, that matters. And if they don't start focusing on that, you're going to see over and over again where you're going to see red on the outside, blue on the inside, and a Republican in the White House. They got to figure out. Both sides have horrible jobs at messaging to people. And they've both got to figure it out. But the Democrats are in a lot of hot water because they don't have a great bench to go to. And the messaging has become all about issues and not about the reality of the world that many people live in, which is where are the jobs? Where's our chance to get ahead? Where are these things? We don't care about all the other stuff. We got kids to take care of. We got kids to put through college. I got a business I'm running. I'm trying to be as best middle class as I possibly can, and I'm sinking, and you're worried about what bathroom somebody can go in. That's what's next for the Democrats. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You can text the show. Getting a lot of texts about the Super Bowl. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Ah, right. Oh, President Trump still working. What is it, 7:30 on the East Coast? Still out there busting it? I think he's one of those guys where you're going to, if you, Trump to me comes across as, how should I say this? There's a limited shelf life with him, working with him, by and large. There's a limited shelf life. It's great. It's exciting. It's intense. It's at times angry. There's a lot of stuff. And then it runs its course, you know, quick. And it's a great experience. And you learn amazing things. And it's something you'll never forget. But then it runs its shelf life. And I see a lot of that in what's going on there. You know, because, and the other thing is, too, is because I think when you go to work for somebody like Trump, whether it's probably going to be for the president, you know, on the presidential side of things, or whether you work for his businesses and you work somewhat closely with him, it's a long job. It's a 20-hour-a-day job. It's a 15-hour-a-day job. It's 6 days a week like that with maybe a day off here or there. So we'll see. Now, Trump is doing something, and people are, you know, this is so, I like to keep things simple, stupid. You'll hear a lot of these things. Executive orders, executive actions. Executive orders, executive actions. He's signing an executive action. Let me tell you what an executive action is. You know, executive action is kind of like I'm telling Congress they got to do this. It's an action. It's a wish. It's kind of a hope. right? I'm signing these things. And if it's a really tense situation, Obama last year used actions when it comes to gun control and a lot of stuff that, because he knew that it would stir up a lot of anger and animosity on both sides of the aisle, because there's a lot of people out there who are Democrats who are Second Amendment people who don't want to see any kind of any kind of stuff done with guns, right? So it's more of a wish list thing. I'm going to send you this, but there's no real legal weight behind it. An executive order is essentially like Congress did it themselves, all right? So it carries the legal weight of the president behind it. All right, this requires zero approval from Congress. It takes effect, and it has the exact same legal rights and laws passed by Congress. So they have the right to issue executive orders to the president in Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, which grants the president executive power. So orders are, I'm telling you, this is getting done, period, case closed, end of story, here you go. Actions like, I want to get this done. I'm telling you guys got to get this done. Here, go get it done. But it's not really binding, so, but this is my wish list. All right? Actions, orders, different thing. Orders, I'm telling you. Actions like, I'd really like this. I'd really like this. Just to break it down. You know, I like to be edumacation here. It's what I like to do. That's who I am. People are worried. You know, this weekend we saw the women marching and Roe v. Wade was, I think the whole thing is people are waiting for Roe v. Wade to try to be overturned. First of all, can I just say something? Even if Trump gets his, you know, the wish of whoever, I don't know who he's going to put on the Supreme Court. I mean, there's like 16 people's names here, and it's a toss-up. And he's the kind of guy where you don't know who he's going to put up there. So trying to guess at this point in time is exactly that. Knowing him, he'll find somebody who's not on that list to put him there. But you do understand that even if he puts somebody on that's uber conservative and pro-life, it's still 5-4, right? It's still 5-4 because you got Kennedy there, and it's still 5-4. So I hear a lot of people freaking out about that, and it's still 5-4. Now that could change when you know Kennedy leaves or who you know something you know Ginsburg goes away. It's still, you know, that could change at this point in time, but it's still 5-4. Where I think you're going to see Roe v. Wade challenge and get to the Supreme Court is going to be in states. States are, you're already starting to see it with Texas and several other states who are changing the rules or who are changing the laws to make it more restrictive, to make it more whatever they, you know, whatever. Some people call it restrictive. Some people call it safe. They're changing the rules. They're changing the laws. That's where you're going to see the challenges go up through things. That's where you're going to see. And at that point in time, which is, and look, I'm a states' rights guy. I think our states are our states. I think the federal government is way too overreaching, way too overgrasping. I think the states should be allowed to compete amongst themselves, and they should be pretty much their own sovereignty along the way, if you will. And I think we need more states' rights. That's why I like the 4-4 decisions a lot of way, because I think it gets kicked down to lower Supreme Courts across. And I like that. But that's where you're going to see it challenged, is in states' rights. I think states are going to, under this president, will challenge some of those things. Now, he's already said, as far as marriage equality, it's been the Supreme Court. We're not going to try it. Let's move on with our lives. So I don't think we're going to see that. But what I do think you're going to see is there is going to be a state, probably, that is going to challenge that. Doesn't mean you can't have one. Just means you have to go to a different state. Well, that's annoying. Well, life's annoying at times. That's why states do what we do. I mean, we already compete, don't we? States already compete with one another. I'm in California. We had Rick Perry out here 2 years ago running ads and talking to big businesses, begging them to come to Texas because we got, you know, hey, come to Texas because I'm there and I don't know what's going on, but we got a lot of stuff and we got lots of land and it's cheap and, oh, by the way, there's no taxes and blah, 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 blah. Zero regulation. So this is where this is going to come in, is you're going to see a states' rights situation take battle. And I see the, you know, and that's a, what, like this weekend when I'm watching all of these women and the protesters and the whole nine yards, you know, I was thinking to myself, I know some of it's about this, and this is where your state comes in. This is where you need to get on your state, because the feds aren't challenging it, right? The feds aren't going out there, we're getting rid of this. The feds aren't. It's the states that are. So your states are where you need to do battle in that instance. That's where you need to fight it out. Trump's not coming out going, he may say I'm appointing somebody who's a pro-life, you know, justice, right? But again, it's 5-4 right now, and that's not going to be challenged. To get to that point where it's challenged, it's got to go through a state. So a state is going to be the one that brings it up. States like California and New York and Democratic states across the board, Oregon, is, you know, Washington, hey, they're not worried about that. It's not going to happen. And to be honest, in a lot of places, I think it's just, you know, unless you are a hardcore red state, you know, I mean, what are you going to get? I mean, you really going to get anything out of it? No, it's not. It's a ball that most people, like everything else, when it comes to immigration, when it comes to, it's a ball that nobody really wants to get seriously deep in and touch. They may say, look, you know, 16 weeks, 24 weeks. They may do something like that. Got to hear the heart. Yes. And you know what? It may be more annoying and it's my body. It's all just because I understand that. But also understand that for a lot of people, it's about appeasing the constituents, right? The gun control people have the same issues. I live in a state, California, where they're doing everything they can to control guns. The same way that the left wants to fight anything to do with Roe v. Wade and choice, the gun control people have to go through almost the identical thing. It's about control. And what do? Well, you're going to limit this now. I have to have a heartbeat test. You know, I've got to go the minute I hear the heartbeat, I can't get this. Or the minute it's 12 weeks, I can't get this. Now you're being told, well, you got to watch out. That magazine's too big. Well, you got to register those bullets. Well, it's the same argument. It's just a different thing that they're arguing about, but the exact same argument's being used. It'll be states that are going to have to compete with one another across the board. And it's frustrating, I'm sure, and it pisses people off, absolutely. But this is where it's come. I think a lot of people think the feds are going to come right down and say, you know what? We're getting rid of Roe v. Wade. It's not going to work that way. It's just not. It will be the states that have to take this up through it all. It's going to have to go through challenge after challenge, go up through Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, go up through the, you know, until eventually lands in the Supreme Court. But it's not going to be the feds that are just coming out of nowhere going, I had a great idea. And I think that's what people have to understand because they're so hyper-focused on this. And I don't think they get that. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. The Mexican president says he is not building a wall. He doesn't even believe there's going to be a wall. 1,933 miles is the length that the wall would have to be. I just don't think it's going to get done. By the way, I don't even think you need a wall in half of it. The terrain is just enough of the wall. This is going to be a fight for a long time. I'm interested to see how close he gets to building some of this thing. I really am. And I've been down there on the border, and it's been very interesting. All right, little say what straight ahead. Is God real? Worst lawsuit that started out as hilarity. Thank you, Phil, for sending us that. And this model, wow, them and some legs, lady. Them and some legs. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Say what, y'all? Say what?
You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Text her right in. Hey, Chad, my wife made a good analysis of Trump. She says everyone elected to Congress wants to get their hands in the cookie jar. Well, Trump has his own cookie jar and filled with more than Congress. She's a Democrat. She voted for Trump. She can understand the asshat women who marched this past weekend. She said they missed the point. I think there was something to that. I think this weekend, again, it wasn't that they missed the point. It's just what point did they have? Right? New England Patriots, getting a lot of love from them. Patriots, Patriots, Patriots. Few Falcon fans, but lots of Patriots. Crazy! You can text the program 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Satire, I love it. Sometimes, though, some people are so blinded by issues and the want to make things correct that even when something's satirical, they don't get it. Case in point, Ryan Koch. That's the way I think he spells his name because it's K-O-C-H. I'm going to go Koch. Des Moines, Iowa, started a change.org petition because he thought it would be funny. He's got 13,000 signatures. Because you see, us European Americans, a.k.a. us crackers, we should start protesting against Cracker Barrel. Koch writes in his petition opening, it uses an offensive slur and it's deeply offensive and mocks our long and proud heritage. He instead offers an alternative name for the restaurant, which would be called the Caucasian Barrel.
It's only Monday. This is my favorite story of the week.
It is. White people should have something to be offended about, too, he writes. He reiterated over and over again, he likes Cracker Barrel, and he just thought it would be funny. But some people have jumped on it and thinks it is. And this is the insanity of all. If you're signing it because you think it's funny, that's one thing. If you truly believe it's offensive, and here's the funny thing. I think people think it's offensive and racist because it's got the word cracker in it. That's what I think. Cracker Barrel said they are aware of the satirical petition and recognizes the individuals have the right to express their opinion of all types. At Cracker Barrel, our mission is pleasing people. While we respect the opinions of these individuals, our brand is well-known and as a home away from home, so we have no plans to change our name as it is synonymous with the great food and great service. I love Cracker Barrel. I had no problem with it. I got zero problems, but the Caucasian Barrel is awesome.
And their free Wi-Fi.
That's right, free Wi-Fi at the Cracker Barrel, us European Americans. And you know him putting the, again, it's satire. But the fact that anybody would even throw this out there and say, oh my God, I totally need to sign that, is hilarious. We need to come up with something soon. Soon. We're working on Loungepalooza. We're going to be doing that soon, people. And we're going to pick a day where we do nothing. We do our jobs, and then we all get together at a certain time. And we just lounge, right, as our protest. It's literally our anti-protesting thing that we're doing. And it'll be a meet and greet on the interwebs. No reason for us to go anywhere because who wants Sloth-a-palooza? Oh, my God. She's a mom, and she's been dubbed Skyscraper. She's the longest legs. And you know what? I don't know, man. I look at this and I think to myself, now you had a friend, right, Phil, that had long legs?
Well, she was tall is what she was.
But still, this lady's tall. She's like 6'5". And I, you know, she is, you know, they're saying that her legs are what? 5'1", I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, what do you do? It is crazy. And they show pictures. I mean, it's crazy because here she is. She's in the, you know, 51.9 inches long. So she's 6'2". And, I mean, she's 6'5". And her name's Russian Svetlana Pankatrova. I don't know. I mean, I look at this and they show her walking down the street and it doesn't look right. It doesn't. It looks like a person who's got legs, a head, and shoulders. Knees and toes. Oh, my God. So 51, how big is that? That's 4 feet. What, it's like four, something like that? It's huge. It's massive. It's almost 4'4". That's like bigger than Jack. That's massive. Like, I'm 5'10", and that comes up to my, I mean, you're coming up to my, your legs, your hips start at, like, my chest, almost. That's crazy. Wow, that's crazy. God!
Yes?
Do you exist? Really, Chad? I know. There is a mathematical proof, apparently, for God's existence. He was a great mathematician and a person who pontificated many things. In 1978, Kurt Gödel died. He left behind a series of equations that purported to prove the existence of God. And boy, I am looking at the equations right now. I don't understand math like this. You can understand some math, but this is different kind of math. Let's just give you the first bit of the math. You've got smiley face, P, quotation mark thingies. You got this Y with something in the middle of it. You got like a half dome thing. Upside down A. There's an X. There's it. It's looks like a cat typed it, is what it looks like. But apparently, after two other amazing mathematicians, some of the best in the world, got together and with a supercomputer broke this down, they have proven that, yes, it is valid and that there is something else out there. What is it? They do not know. But they do believe that there is some sort of truth behind his complex theory, that there is a God. He or she, they do not know. But apparently, God is apparently a mathematician, a higher power, if you will. God, that is crazy. God, isn't that crazy? Oh, it is? I know, right? Are you good at math? Are you good at spelling? I bet you're the best speller. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. I'm telling you, man, it looks like a cat walked all over the computer and like, that's math. Really? Because that doesn't look like math. Math is 2 plus 2, which is 7, and we all know that. You text the show, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. You can email us, chad@chadbensonshow.com. And also, check out the Twitter. We've got a poll up there, at Chad Benson Show. Right now, what do we got? About 55% said Falcons going to win them Super Bowl there. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.